It's Morning Edition on WNYC. I'm Michael Hill. Today could mark a turning point in control of the Rikers Island jails. A federal judge will hear testimony over the potential appointment of a federal receiver who would take full control of the jails away from New York City. But for the last 7 years, a different federal authority has had oversight over the jail system and apparently failed to make meaningful change. WNYC's Matt Cass is here to tell us about the federal monitor who has earned $18 million in city tax dollars in the last 7 years, even as humanitarian conditions disintegrated. Matt, good morning.
Good morning, Michael.
Who is the monitor, Matt, and what does it mean to monitor Rikers Island?
His name is Steve J. Martin. He was a correction officer in Texas 50 years ago, and he's been an attorney and corrections expert ever since. The public really only hears about him every 6 months or so when he releases these voluminous reports to federal court updating the judge who was on the original lawsuit about what's happening in the jails, particularly on use of force by officers, violence between detainees, that sort of thing. So I dug in and got more details on Martin and his tenure here. It turns out he has a team made up of 8 people, and they have collected, as you mentioned, more than $18 million over the last 7 years and counting. That's a number I got from the city law department because these salaries are paid out of city taxpayer funds, even though he was appointed by the federal courts. I also found out that Martin himself makes more than $400,000 a year. That's more than the mayor for what amounts to a part-time job. Most of what he does is consult, advise, and publish data from the correction department. Sometimes he requests judicial orders to enforce his recommendations. And all of this is supposed to try to make the jail safer for detainees and officers.
So, Matt, 7 years in, $18 million spent. Has the monitor had any success?
Not by the most important measures, no. I mean, since he arrived, the rate of fights and assaults has nearly doubled. People in custody are 7 times more likely to be seriously injured by another detainee. Staff are almost twice as likely to be assaulted. And slashings and stabbings have increased each of the last 4 years. I also have to add that 18 people have so far died in city custody or shortly after being released this year. That's the highest death rate of people incarcerated by New York City in more than a decade. So by those simple measures, you know, making the jails less violent, which was the whole point of federal intervention, we found that this monitorship has simply failed. Everyone I spoke to for the story said there wasn't any evident success beyond, you know, providing more data about what's happening in the jails. The monitor was given credit for strengthening policies, overseeing the installation of thousands of cameras, expanding training for officers. But some former and current correction officials told me that they think the laser focus on use of force and violence, which didn't even work, but that laser focus, they said, meant that other important jail functions like getting people to medical care and to court on time, making sure people get recreation, all that stuff fell by the wayside. The city's last correction commissioner, Vinny Schiraldi, told me that the cost of the city isn't even just the monitoring team's salary alone, because taxpayers also fund a whole compliance unit within the correction department whose job it is to work with the monitor.
The question is, does this cost the city a lot of money beyond just the monitor and his team's salary? The answer is yes. And it's not successful. I mean, it's not so bad if it costs money and it works. But so far, it doesn't.
What does Martin say about his tenure in the city, Matt?
Martin doesn't live in New York. He flies into New York to tour the jails and meet with officials. That's also at taxpayers' expense. And his team would not talk to us. They cited a provision in the original legal agreement that forbids statements to the media. But the monitoring team's own recent public report seemed to hint at its own futility. One report from this year, 7 years in, used the word dysfunction 24 times to describe the city jail system. The monitor cited one example that sort of sums it all up about how an incarcerated person recently was convulsing, but since no correction officers provided medical aid, detainees threw a trash can to try to get the guard's attention, but instead of helping, officers just sprayed everyone on the unit with a chemical agent. And, you know, that's one example, but more broadly, the monitor still finds the department non-compliant on most categories that he measures. Last month, the Monitor seemed to throw up his hands about all of this. He wrote, "The problems are so deeply entrenched and complicated that no single person, power, or authority will be able to fix them on the rapid schedule that the gravity of the problems demand."
So if the expert in charge of monitoring Rikers and helping to fix it thinks the place can't be turned around anytime soon, what happens now?
Some stakeholders think they have a solution, which is going to begin to play out in federal court this afternoon, actually. They want more aggressive federal intervention beyond a monitor. They want a federal receiver, as you mentioned in the introduction. And that person would literally take total control over the jails from the city and have the power to break union agreements, like rolling back unlimited sick leave for officers, and even override local regulations to try to just aggressively turn Rikers around as fast as possible. So the attorneys representing detainees in the original lawsuit will make the case to the judge on this case that receivership is now the best answer. We know the Monitor opposes this move, as does Mayor Adams and the city. So we can probably buckle up for a long legal fight over what amounts to a federal takeover of the city jails.
Certainly sounds like it will be. Matt Katz covers public safety for WNYC. Matt, thank you for this.
Thanks, Michael.
You can read Matt's comprehensive analysis of the Monitor's tenure at Gothamist.com.